You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Wisconsin has a long legacy of beer brewing, and these days the rest of the country is getting in on the game too, with thousands of craft breweries opening up over the last decade or two. And a new project will help beer lovers and beer makers better understand how some of their favorite brews came to be. The Smithsonian Institution is compiling the history of American beer and brewing through documents, photos, and interviews. Teresa McCullough is the historian of the American Brewing History Initiative at the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History. Teresa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Well, first, tell us about this project you're doing on American brewing history.
So I am the historian of the American Brewing History Initiative at the American History Museum. And the American History Museum, if any listeners have been here recently, you might have seen that we have done a really great job collecting the history of American cuisine and American winemaking. On our ground floor in the museum, we have a food history exhibition, which includes Julia Child's kitchen, which was transported in full down from Cambridge, Massachusetts, and installed here in the museum. But a few years ago, curators here had a sense that we had not done quite as full a job collecting on the history of American beer and brewing. And so that is where I come in. And my task is to travel the country and to document the history of brewing in America today. And I have a special focus on the stories of home brewing and craft beer.
That sounds fun.
It is, yeah.
And brewing has a great history because there's kind of, people think of the 1800s and this golden age where little breweries rose up all over the place, then the big brewers, and now something new is going on. And you said that's a lot of what you're tracking. Can you talk about what you're looking for as you tell the story of the history of craft beer?
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, brewing is a uniquely useful subject for me as a historian because through beer and brewing, I can really speak to any major theme or event in American history, you know, whether you want to talk about the history of immigration or transportation or technological advances, really beer relates to all of those subjects. And it's been present in America since even before the nation's founding. America's first brewers were enslaved people and women. They were brewing in the home. But yes, we have a much, much different appearance to the brewing industry today in America. We have more than 6,500 breweries in this country. It's more than ever before in our nation's history. And this current era of brewing culture, which we call the craft beer revolution, it really began in the 60s, and it has showcased a very different approach to making and consuming beer than what preceded it. And so again, the museum had this sense that the first generation of craft brewers, first called microbrewers, they're still very much present on the scene, and so now is very much the time to collect their stories and to see if they have objects, documents, artifacts that they might want to donate to the Smithsonian collection.
Before we dig deeper into beer, it seems like there's a wider story here that that beer and wine and food and how we make it and consume it tells a bigger story about American history. Can you talk about that a little?
Sure, absolutely. Well, that the beginning of craft beer is really it's a perfect example of this because in the 1960s in Northern California, that was when the American winemaking industry was really starting to boom, and then you have the start of what we know to be called California cuisine. It was the sense that American food dishes produced with locally available ingredients could be quite delicious and award-winning. And so brewers, home brewers at the time, looked around at the winemaking scene and the culinary scene and thought, this relates to beer, too. We, too, can make great beer in America and produce it here on this soil. And so the methods of this time that brewers were using also, you know, drew very much from the kind of 1960s countercultural trends, the do-it-yourself movements of the 1970s. All of these things fed into the growth of microbrewing and eventually craft brewing.
So as you travel the country looking at the history of this craft brewing movement, what kind of things are you looking to collect? What kind of stories and I guess what kind of artifacts?
Mm-hmm. Well, and this has been a great challenge and a pleasure of the job to really arrive here with a blank slate and to think, you know, there has not been a really synthetic and scholarly collecting initiative that has looked at the entire scope of this recent era of brewing history. And so where should we start and what should we try to collect? And so being a historian, I wanted to begin at the beginning, and so I started with an initial collecting trip to Northern California, to the Bay Area. That's where some of these very important figures really began their work. And when I visit people like Fritz Maytag, who purchased Anchor Brewing Company in 1965, it was a 19th-century brewery that had kind of struggled since Prohibition, and he really revitalized it and showcased what a new small brewery could be at the time. People like Fritz Maytag or Ken Grossman, who founded Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, Michael Lewis, a professor emeritus at the University of California, Davis. When I speak with them, I ask them about objects that really kind of were transformative in their career or encapsulate their stories. You know, the Smithsonian wants things that are used and worn and, you know, show records of what they have done for the people that they belong to. And so, for example, Michael Lewis, this professor I mentioned, I was very honored to be able to collect his personal copy of the brewing textbook that he wrote. And he, just until very recently, he used this textbook to teach students in his brewing science lab. And if you, the binding is totally broken, and when it arrived here in D.C., it was actually held together by a little purple rubber band that you would get. It said asparagus on it. It was an asparagus rubber band from the grocery store. But there were all kinds of, you know, notes in the margins and circles from his coffee cups. And it was very much an artifact of a teacher and a writer and someone who had spent decades in the classroom with students, teaching them how to brew great beer. And so objects like that really kind of bring the story of their maker or their user with them, that's what I'm looking for.
We're talking to historian Teresa McCullough about the American Brewing History Initiative at the Smithsonian National Museum of American History. Teresa, in your travels, you have been through Wisconsin, a key part of brewing history. Can you tell us a little bit about what you were looking for here?
Absolutely. Well, you know, as soon as I got this job, I knew that a stop in Wisconsin would be obligatory because Wisconsin really, again, it kind of encapsulates all eras of American brewing history, that you have this great 19th century story of immigrant brewers who came to this country and really made brewing a profitable profession, and many of them settled in the upper Midwest because the climate was favorable to lager brewing. That was certainly not the case in the Mid-Atlantic or the South, and so the conditions were really perfect in places like Wisconsin. But then following Prohibition, then you have the story of brewery consolidation, and so then you have macro breweries like Miller Coors, which is still brewing and a very important figure in the industry, still there in Milwaukee today. And then now you have this new wave of craft breweries that are opening all over the country, including in Wisconsin. And so I visited places like Good City Brewing Company in Milwaukee, which the owners there really show this strong sense of investment and commitment to revitalizing the neighborhood around them. One of the founders, David Dupuy, told me that he sat around with his friends and his wife several years ago, and they literally made a commitment to the city of Milwaukee to stay there to improve it, and they're doing that through their brewery. But then you have a real kind of diversity of stories also that you can find elsewhere in the state. For example, I visited AJS Tap Handles in Random Lake, Wisconsin, which makes 80% of the tap handles that you might see in American food and drink establishments. And it's a really interesting place where the art director is really kind of the kind of middle person between the consumer and the brewer. And, you know, if you walk into a bar, especially if you have a lineup of unfamiliar beers, you know, you might look at the tap handle to decide what you might want to order. And so really there are all kinds of stories that are available in this state in a really interesting way.
And when you go to a craft brewery or a tap handle manufacturer or you name it, are these people who really want to tell their story?
Absolutely, yes. And, you know, everywhere I go, I just encounter this enormous enthusiasm and excitement that the American History Museum has this collecting initiative. There's a sense that beer has been a bit overlooked. You know, it's for historical reasons, it's kind of developed the reputation of an everyman's drink, and in a way that is true because beer is the most consumed alcoholic beverage in America. But, you know, certainly in the last 50 years, the American brewing industry is the most innovative in the world just in terms of the flavor profiles of beers that are produced here. And so I just have encountered amazing excitement you know, curiosity about what's happening here in D.C. and what I do when I travel around the country.
We've been talking about craft brewers for the most part, and there are so many of them, it seems like it's impossible to keep track of those. But how about home brewers? There are probably even more of those, and we'll never see their product in a bar or on a shelf.
Well, and, you know, it's great that you ask about that because the craft brewing movement really began with home brewers. We would not have beer in America today if we did not have home brewers. It was in the immediate aftermath of, after Prohibition, when breweries consolidated and there were home brewers who who kind of continued to tinker at home, even though homebrewing remained illegal after Prohibition's repeal. And it was in the 50s and 60s, especially following travels abroad, whether for military service or educational purposes, that some homebrewers found beers in places like Belgium and Germany and England and Scotland that they wanted to replicate and bring back home to American soil. And so they brought homebrewing guides back with them, even brewing equipment. And when people like Fritz Maytag, when he revitalized Anchor Brewing Company, he was brewing styles like porter and barley wine that were being made in Europe, but not necessarily America. And so it's homebrewers who really kind of began this, you know, had this compulsion to make beer better and then ultimately to turn professional. And so the American Homebrewers Association now has more than 43,000 members and is extremely active. And, you know, I just returned from the Great American Beer Festival in Denver, and there are many opportunities where homebrewers collaborate with professional brewers, and professional brewers will scale up expert recipes from homebrewers. And so there's actually quite a lot of movement in between the homebrewing and the professional craft brewing sectors.
You used the word tinkering a few moments ago, and that makes me think, like, if there was a stock American character of the 19th century, it might be the tinkerer, the Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's court type of person. When you visit these homebrewers and these craft brewers who are, you know, reinventing the wheel on purpose in a lot of cases, do you see them fitting into that kind of American tradition?
Well, you know, I think there has always and continues to be a sense among craft brewers that they are small. They're kind of they're working hard at home to make beer that is better than what they can get from a very big producer. That there's always been a strong sense of camaraderie among home brewers and craft brewers, you know, to the extent of sharing ingredients or mentoring each other, offering you know, kind of internships or relationships means to learn and teach about brewing. But, you know, when I interview, especially when I sit down to record oral histories with brewers and I ask them what kinds of influences led them to this point, I'm really struck by the extent to which many of them cite a background in science. You know, perhaps they study biology or chemistry in school. Many of them love to cook. They say that brewing is much like cooking. Many also speak about the importance of travel in really shaping their palate. And, you know, so I certainly think there are common influences or experiences that, you know, could point someone toward brewing as a profession.
And, Teresa, before we wrap up, on a personal level, have you discovered a lot of great new beers to drink yourself?
I have, yes. And, you know, As I like to say, history first, happy hour second. But when as part of my travels, it's a great, you know, a privilege when I tour a brewery, especially if a beer is not available in the D.C. area. You know, sometimes a brewer will send me home with a can of beer or something and say, well, you know, bring this back to D.C. and, you know, pack it carefully in your suitcase. So that has it's been, you know, a really wonderful way to honor and, you know, sample the work of many of these entrepreneurs who have been so creative and so successful.
Teresa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Teresa McCullough is the historian of the American Brewing History Initiative at the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History. She was with us to talk about her research into the recent history of beer and a trip to Wisconsin as part of that.